So this fall, we will be walking through the book of James. Towards the end of the New Testament, after the book of Hebrews, page 977 in your pew Bibles. And it is a book that has a lot of practical wisdom in life. We'll talk about it as things appear throughout the book, but there's been a struggle at times for its inclusion in the New Testament simply because it's hard-hitting, so to speak, and doesn't seem, according at least to Martin Luther, to have as much emphasis on faith. I think he's wrong about that, but you can see to certain degrees where he's coming from. There is a lot to be learned here, a lot to be tackled in this text, but we are calling our series for this fall Where Faith Meets Life, where our faith intersects to how we live our lives in light of what Christ has done in and through us. So, as we begin verses 1 to 18 in the book of James, hear the word of the Lord this morning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. And when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows, and he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This is the word of the Lord. Well, here we go, right out of the gate. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, it's good that we've kind of, I would say, hit this right out of the gate. And the reason I say that is because many of you are facing trials, and you know that I am facing trials. And so are my boys, and so are a lot of things that are unfolding from this. And so, as we go along in sermon series and in talks, you just need to know that you don't have to worry about me as I'm talking. You need to listen to the text and what it might be saying and speaking to you through God's Holy Spirit. But it will be invariably the reality that I'm very much being talked to as well in and through these texts and trying to see what it is it's saying to me. It will bring new light, I'm sure, to our discussions, But I just want to name it up front that we're doing this together. And that really is what is meant to unfold as the body of Christ through its preachers, through its Bible teachers, and through its attenders, that we all walk through life together, and we walk through life together in light of God's Word shining, we hope, in the midst of darkness. And so we want to begin this discussion this morning is to say, does suffering have purpose? Do trials matter in the scope of the development of a human life? And what James wants to say right out of the gate is that we should consider the trials that come our way pure joy. Sounds a bit tough, doesn't it? Sounds a bit hard to look at what you might be going through and to consider it pure joy. Unless we jump back a couple chapters to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, where it is said, the writer of Hebrews reminds the people that we are to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, talking about Jesus here, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We do so in light of the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who inexplicably, as the writer the Hebrews says, for the joy set before him, went to the most awful experience that humanity could ever muster against God. And did so in order that the cross and the shame that comes with it might be scorned and set aside for a glory and for a joy far greater than we could ever imagine. And the writer of Hebrews says, you know, consider him when you go through your own struggles in order that you might persevere. Suffering does have a purpose in the midst of life, but not in the sense that it is sadistic, not in the sense that pain is something to be enjoyed. Or that evil is to be attributed to the hand of God. We need to be clear about that. But suffering does have its purpose in that it unfolds within the will of God to make us and to form us and to fashion us into people who we could not be on our own power and in our own strength. It is to create and to develop in us faith that is not faith that unfolds in a test tube, but faith that unfolds in the raw circumstances of the world in which we live. Biblical faith has... So I know you're Central Valley Californians, which I'm part of you now, I suppose, 15 years later. You have to think of faith as unfolding under four seasons. Summer, fall, winter, spring. Freezing cold and biting snow and winds that are whipping up and melting snow and flowers blooming in scorching heat and yet beautiful sunrises and vistas and the falling of leaves, the cycle of death that actually will eventually go to winter and lead back into new life. Biblical faith is four-season faith. God has to kill things in order for things to grow. And what James wants to say at the very beginning is that suffering is necessary to develop within us what the NIV translates as perseverance. ESV has another word called steadfastness. Holding steady, not being moved, but also this sense of moving forward. It's traversing a tough trail and not falling off. And we all know that in life it's too easy to give up. Too easy to quit. Too easy to demonstrate to our children that it's easy to quit. We think it's a virtue to simply survive life and complain about it all the way. Biblically, we are to avoid that. There is no virtue in complaint, and there is no simply stars for surviving. We are meant to move forward. The word persevere has this connotation of remaining under. Commentator Douglas Moo points out that it's a picture of a person successfully carrying a heavy load for a long time. And the impulse that we have within us is to avoid it and to spare others when tough times come upon us. But it has the opposite effect. It has the opposite effect of not producing within us what we need to move forward in life. And invariably, when we are not giving ourselves to perseverance, we are creating conditions where there are constant messes to be cleaned up. And truthfully, interestingly, I've heard this a number of times recently, we underestimate the capacities that we have through God to endure suffering. We often think, I could never make it through that. I could never survive that. Yet it's amazing the stories that unfold through people doing exactly that, walking through tough roads with God's grace and with God's help. It's amazing the stores of energy and strength that are given through the Spirit when the pressure is on. Suffering pushes us beyond our capacities. It's the athlete going the extra mile in order to push their lungs to places their lungs have never been before and their legs to pain that they've never experienced before. It actually expands the ability to move forward, to start what we finished. And there are no shortcuts for this. It's not something that can unfold in an antiseptic environment. Trials are the training ground to develop perseverance. There are no shortcuts for this. It doesn't mean that we will all have the same kinds of suffering. It does not mean we will have the same kinds of experiences. It doesn't mean that we should be living our life waiting for the shoe to drop. It means that we will face struggles, and we will also walk with others in their struggles so that we might as well learn from them, help them, but also be aware of what God can be saying to us in and through the faith that we live out. Suffering is necessary to be steadfast in our lives. But this steadfastness, this perseverance that's meant to be cultivated within us, is one that seeks after and lives in light of wisdom. So it's a necessary corollary here. We can't just say, okay, I've gone through suffering and I've been made to be tough. No. I'm meant to be wise. Yes, with some toughness in there, with some strength. But it's meant to produce within us a mindset that desires God's wisdom above all things. And the contrast that James paints is between the doubter, the person who doesn't seek after wisdom, doesn't believe that God can give the kind of advice that we would need for our lives, the kind of wise sayings that we would need to enact in our own living. As someone who exists like a wave of the sea, it's a great image. Because a wave of the sea, when you see it, it's gone and it's back up again. It is just simply floating around. And in the end, James says, this person is just simply double-minded. It wants to go through life and survive it, but not actually learn from it. Not actually develop the capacity to, when the next wave hits, the next struggle comes our way, face it with a different set of principles. Face it with a different understanding of faith than we had before. For perseverance to really develop into maturity, it has to develop a desire for God's wisdom to be sought in and through this. And the wisdom allows that person in the midst of persevering to receive the crown of life. James comes back to this in verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because they will receive the crown of life. This sense of God saying, well done, good and faithful servant, living a wise life. I sat across the table at a lunch place this past week with a friend of mine who is a professor at Whitworth University. Is a few professors, actually. I stayed with my mentor, but across the table at one lunch was a man named Jerry Sitzer. Jerry Sitzer wrote a book in the 90s called A Grace Disguised. And he experienced just an awful circumstance in which he was coming back from a powwow with his family, four children, his wife and his mother, was hit by a drunk driver, and in that accident lost his mother, his wife, and one of his children. And he was left to raise three children, two boys and a daughter, in light of that horrific accident. It's a powerful book that is really recommended to anybody going through trials and struggles. But he said to me, you know, listen, I experienced in this accident something that was completely and utterly not my fault. It was a moment in time that couldn't be changed. It's not something that I could go to a counselor and say, how could I have prevented that from happening? It's an awful circumstance. And yet he said, the best thing that I did over the next 2 years is I allowed that accident to be something that pushed me to leave no stone unturned in me as I went through the suffering, as I went through the struggles, as I went through the doubts of faith. Talking with friends and talking with counselors, he says, I wanted God to speak to me in and through me so that I would know myself completely. He left that phrase. He had no stone unturned in who he was, even though it was nothing that he had done. This is the kind of behavior that James is asking us to do, is that steadfastness is to seek a wisdom that is like a spade digging up the dirt within us, leaving nothing hidden, leaving nothing unexposed, so that we might grow and mature for a life that God is calling us to. And therefore, lastly, a life that is steadfast, that is understanding the wisdom of God, is one that will seek and will trust God through all things. Because there is a way, friends, in which we can think we are steadfast and think we are wise, and God can be somewhat ancillary to that process, kind of come in and rescue the day once in a while, but not be central to it. Not be the one that we wake up seeking and the one we go to bed thanking for the day. Suffering and purpose has to bring us closer to God. It has to let us see that all that we say and do should unfold in light of who He is and what He's done on our behalf. And there's this frightful sense is when it's not seeking and trusting God, it does some dangerous things within us. Said that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. What does he mean when he's saying that? He's saying that quite often in the midst of struggles in life and the ways in which we actually embrace evil, we will say that this is in fact God's will, or that God has blessed this choice, that God is simply, I don't know, shifting who he is in order to make what my desires are more palatable. The easy temptation in human life is to allow our own desires to be somehow blessed by God by our own choices. James just describes the sinful action of how this goes badly. Temptation comes our way. We pray this, deliver us from temptation. But temptation grabs hold of us because we are lured in by our own desire. Almost a fishing thing. The line's been set and we bite down on it and we are pulled in. And then this desire being pulled in gives birth to sin. And that sin grows when it's enacted and eventually brings death. It's a dangerous game. Temptation, lured by desire, birthing sin, becoming who we are, and then eventually killing us. This is the life that does not seek God, does not trust God, does not look at struggles as something to be faced with steadfastness and endurance and seeking God's wisdom above all. It is one that simply embraces the desire completely. And James says, don't be deceived by this. All goodness comes from where? Above. From the Father of heavenly lights who does not change. Does not change his mind. Does not depart from his word or his will. He is not like, I love this line, shifting shadows. He is constant blazing light. And the wise person is one who trusts in this Father of light, the giver of goodness and the word of truth. Jerry published a new book about 4 years ago called A Grace Revealed, in which he described how God, in and through his suffering, had done some amazing things most gloriously after, I believe, 13 years watching his children grow and move out of the house, the blessing of another wife in the midst of great suffering. It's a great progression. The experience of suffering, recognition that suffering has some kind of grace disguised in it, but eventually becoming revealed, because we know that in all things there is good and perfect gifts being given to us by God, who does not leave us alone, who does not abandon us in the midst of the storm, and who does not leave any stone unturned in us. He desires that we follow him in the way that he has followed. And to be able to say, he doesn't say consider it happiness when you face a trial. He says consider it joy. Because he desires to make you steadfast, to make you wise, to take your life away from a wave of the ocean bobbing around without any direction to go, and turning it into a life that knows and is given good and perfect gifts from above. Kind of like Psalm 1 a couple weeks ago, this tree planted by streams of living water. Friends, we do not know why things unfold. We just do know that God is intent on bringing good things out of it. May we trust. May we believe. May we not doubt that he is there, so that we might be strong and steadfast in our faith. Let us pray. Lord, this is a tough word, and we do not know how to do this, yet by your Spirit, help us to find joy in what we face, knowing that you have a purpose for it. May we be those who seek wisdom, May we be those that avoid the deception of temptation, and those who desire the goodness of God. For we follow in this faith the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross on our behalf. For this we are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing song.